Okay, here we are. First of all, I like to say hello to the, I call you the Friends of Jesus, and I promised you that I would make a tape and send you a photo. I have a nice photo here of myself and my wife Ingrid. I will enclose this with this tape and with my next lesson. First of all, I'd like to thank all you people for what you have done for me, and I'll explain the all reasons why. The reason why I have to speak to you instead of writing will come pretty well clear in a few minutes. First of all, my name is John van Rismalen. I'm born in the Netherlands, and I'm 55 years of age, born in 1946, the 8th of August, and so by the time you receive this tape, I will be 56. I was born in a little town called Arnhem, and I didn't grow up with my parents because my parents weren't married at the time, and they both were involved in the war, and my father came back from Germany apparently, and he got involved with my mother, but both were married before. So when I was born, and according to the Catholic religion, it was a no-no at the time, because they weren't married, and I was taken away from home, and I grew up with a different family on a small farm away in the country. And on different occasions, when I was about 4 or 5, I came home for holidays to my real parents. I didn't know they were my parents at the time, but I did go for holidays, and there were some other children I was allowed to play with. But by the age of 11, I came home to my real parents, and I was almost of working age at that stage. I've been in and out of hospitals prior to that, in health centres and in sanatoriums, where people go who are fairly ill and things like that. And I have struggled with illness all my life, and that will come fairly clear and a little bit later on. So by the time I came home, I found out that I was baptised a Roman Catholic, and I asked the questions, why don't we go to church, or why don't we have prayers? And because some of the children at school, they were saying they go to Sunday school and things like that, and my parents said they weren't welcome in the church because they weren't married in the church and different things like that. So anyway, I did go to a Catholic church school for a little while, but my parents' family couldn't get on with the school, and we were taken away, so we went to a public school after that. But I very quickly grew up, and at the age of 11, I was still in grade 3. Age of 12, I was in grade 4 and 5. They shuffled me from one place to the other. I couldn't read or write at the time. I had a lot of tests done, and it worked out that I was unable to read or write because I haven't got a photographic memory, and my learning disability, I think it's called in English, dyslexic. So anyway, that is one of the reasons that I speak to you on the tape instead of writing it down on paper. And I think you might have seen it even in the lessons that my handwriting is not the best. However, I grew up with my family at that time. In the age of 13, I started work as an apprentice painter, because all my family are painters. My father, my uncles and his brothers, my grandfather, they're all painters. So it was very obvious the firstborn in the family always was a painter. I come from a fairly large family. I have got 6 sisters and 4 brothers. Whereof a couple have been passed away since that. So we didn't have a very easy life. At the age of 15, my family decided to migrate to a country called Australia. where I'm quite happy at the moment. However, I never had an education, so it was very difficult for me to read or write or even speak the language at that time. But the speaking part came pretty quickly, because in the workforce course you had to go in and utter, speak or try to, and otherwise you would not get along, and especially in the building game. However, I landed up in many hospitals, and when I was young, and the different type of things, and so I worked for the family till I was 21 years of age. My birthday was virtually the time that I was mature enough to be on my own, they reckon. So we've never were allowed to keep our wages or anything like that, so we only got pocket money at the age of 20. I received $5 pocket money a week. From that, I had to pay my bus fare to go to work. However, I didn't mind that so much, because that was the normal thing to do in my family at that time. So, but they struggled, and so it was normal for us to help. There was no religion in our family, because for some reason my parents didn't agree with it, and so we didn't have a Christian upbringing in that sense. However, we were taught from right from wrong, of course, from the word go. And so when I was actually 21, I actually got engaged, and a few months later I got married to my wife Ingrid, who is also on the photo. And we had two children, Michael and Richard, and we struggled as a young family, because we didn't have any money at the time we did get married, but we managed. I managed to work, and I worked for a couple of painting firms and different things, and when the children were born, and they grew up quite quickly, and time passed very fast, and I virtually worked from early hours in the morning to late at night to make ends meet. And then unfortunately one day, when the children were just ready to go to high school, I had a bad accident. I fell off a ladder and busted a few bones and bits and pieces. And of course I had to go to hospital and checked over, and it came to the fore that I not only had some busted bones, but also I had got a bone disease. And so I was sent down to a very big hospital in Adelaide, and they did some exploratory operations. And when they were finished with me, I was paralysed from the waist down, not knowing exactly what it was, but never mind, that's the way it is, I suppose. And of course, I spent long months in hospital, and then lying at home and couldn't work, couldn't do anything. Couldn't even go to the toilet by myself, so it was pretty bad. And at that time, I started to ask the question, why me? Because prior to that, in the little town where we lived and where I worked, I was involved in the Scout Association, soccer clubs, Table Tennis Association, the school swimming council, the school council itself, and I thought I was a reasonable person, did a lot of things for the community. But never mind, that's the way it goes, I suppose. And but things went from bad to worse, and I started to feel depressed. I didn't know what to do, which way to turn. I didn't have any help from a lot of people at the time, and I actually went that far down while I was in the hospital again that I actually wanted to take my life, and I told my wife to go and find somebody else and just who could provide for her, because I felt like an outright failure, because we're a young family, you're supposed to go to work and do things with your children, and I was laying there in a bed. So once I did try to commit suicide, my people around the town, they must have heard of it somehow, and a minister from the Uniting Church came in and sat by me and wanted to talk to me about God and different things. And I said, well, where is God? Why isn't he helping me? Because I helped everybody else, and he's not looking after me. And he turned around, he said, John, things are not as bad as they seem to be. And I just rushed it away, and a day later they brought in a little girl in the same room where I was, and she was a Down syndrome child. She couldn't move her arms or legs and couldn't speak. Her face was all crooked. The only thing she could do was smile with her beautiful eyes. Anyway, I looked at her a few times, and when she was laying on her side, she could look at me, and she virtually stared at me, and she smiled. And then I remembered the words of that minister from the Uniting Church: things are not always as bad as they seem. Anyway, I took a little bit of heart, and I tried to pick up a couple of books, and next to the bed there was a Bible, and I took it up and read a bit in it, and I couldn't understand the passages, and I could read it, but I had no way of understanding it, and so I started blaming different people for it, because I didn't have a religious education, and nothing to hang on to, and so I went a bit down the slide hill again, but then I came home, and so with the help of my two boys and my wife, I got some ability back, and then the doctors decided to send me back down to another major hospital in South Australia, and they found out that the other hospital where they did the exploratory operation left a needle behind in my spine, and that was the reason I was actually paralysed. So things went from good to worse at that stage, and I started blaming them people for my situation, of course, and bits and pieces like that, but there was nothing that could be done on it. But with the help of a Chinese doctor and my family, my wife and two children, I was able to walk out of that hospital, and I was able to go home, and so I was able to at least feed the chickens and go to the toilet myself and things like that, so life started to look a little bit better. But I didn't feel very well, because I couldn't provide for my children. I couldn't afford to take them out fishing or things like that. And then my boys were old enough to do their own thing, and one of the boys went into the army. The other one went working on different farms and things like that. And they progressed pretty well, and my eldest boy did some studying and he became an electrical engineer. My youngest boy, Richard, he joined that army, and he's been in there for 15 years now, and he has become a marine engineer in the army. So they've done very well for themselves. Richard's wife is also in the army, and they're having a baby very shortly, in about 4 or 5 months from now. And Michael's family lives in Barcolin, and his wife, and he's got 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy. The boy has been in and out of hospital like his grandfather. He's already had 7 operations at the age of 5. But my daughter-in-law is a religious person from home out, and she asked me to go to church with her, and I did, and I was quite surprised when I walked into the Catholic Church to see that everything had changed, and the priests were facing us now instead of facing the altar, and the sacrament was in the back of the church instead of the front of the church, and everybody had the back to the cross, and I just was very puzzled and bits and pieces, and I didn't feel right in the right place there. And anyway, I got out, and she said, hey, what did you think, Dad? I said, well, it was enjoyable. So anyway, we went home and she left a little prayer flag behind. I looked at it and I also put it aside again. Then some people came along the door and they were from the Jehovah Witnesses, and I let them in. We talked about different things, and there were the right way to go, and there's their kingdom, and bits and pieces like that. And I said, yeah, okay, well, leave me a booklet. So I read the booklet of theirs, and then I read another booklet of the Salvation Army, and then some more people came to the door, and they were Mormons, and I read their books and bits and pieces, and so they've got some very good values, especially in family values, that I try to bestow in my family. And I believe that my two boys, my wife and myself, we are a very close-knit family, and we love each other very much. And I've been married for 36 years now with Ingrid, and so I think we've made a go of it in some ways, but there are things missing. And I've always been searching. I did go to churches for a while and then back out again, and I was able to read the Bible, but I could never understand the Bible. So till the going from one place to the other and working on different farms and helping out for free rent and looking after, making sure that nobody came on the property in bits and pieces, and I landed back in hospital with a heart attack, and then I got over that again, and then I landed back in hospital again with a light stroke, and I got over that again. And so health-wise I struggled from day one, and then we decided to move out of all the caretaking positions, because instead of 12 hours helping to look after the garden for the free rent and electricity, it very quickly became 40 and 50 hours a week. And the doctor warned me that if I keep going, I'll end back up in hospital again. And the doctor told me to get out, rent a house, and live a different lifestyle. And so I did. And I came to a little town called Boona, where one day I decided to go to the local showground and walk around. And it was a very small type of show, but there was a man there with a little stall, and he had a few plaques up there, and lots of different sayings on there, and bits and pieces. I looked at it, and he looked at me, and I walked away before he could even talk to me. And say, but by the time I got halfway around, I'd seen myself back in the same stall again, and he said hello, and I said hello, and I walked away again. And I had a few pamphlets in my bag at the time, and so from different machineries and bits and pieces, and so I walked around again, and the thing was, I landed up in the same stall again, and I said, gee, this is strange, it must be something strange. And so this time the man didn't let me go. He clobbered me there and then, and he introduced himself, and he said, can I help you at all? He said, it looks like that you're looking around a fair bit. And I said, yeah. I said, I've been searching for years for some type of guidance. And I said, I've been everywhere, from the Mormons to the Jehovah's Witnesses to the Roman Catholics to the Lutherans to all the different type of things. And he said, well, he said, the most important part is that you understand what God is all about. And I said, well, I don't. I don't know anything about it. I said, I've never had a religious upbringing, and so it's very difficult for me to even understand. I said, I have got a Bible at home, and I do read in it on odd occasion, and one year I might read a couple of passages, and the next year I might read a couple of passages, and but I can't understand. He said, well, there's a lot of people like you around. He said, they can read, but they can't see or understand what's there. I said, they can listen, but they can't hear. I said, well, yeah, you might be right on that. He said, I'll tell you what I do. I said, I'll give you a couple of pamphlets, and you read them. He said, but before you read them, he said, you go down on your knees and in a nice quiet room, and pray to God. I said, well, how do you pray to God? And he said, look, he said, if you don't know how to pray, he said, just talk to him. I said, he'll understand. He knows that you are looking for something. So I just looked at him and I laughed a bit. And then he gave me a little booklet, and the booklet just says, it's Come Home. And it is the most inspiring little booklet I ever read. I was unable to put it down. I had to keep reading it. I did as the man said. I did go into my room and I laid in front of the bed and on my knees, and I just talked to God and asked him for guidance and understanding and help, and somehow I must have struck a chord somewhere, because I was able to read that little booklet and started to understand a bit. And there were some other little pamphlets with it. One is called What is a Christian, and another one, The Warning Signs, and bits and pieces like that. So things were starting to get a little bit better, and every time I walked in the room, I couldn't even walk past there without thinking about God, and it's like my hand was forced to pick up the Bible and started reading, and I started to understand what was actually written there. I've read it many times, but I didn't know what the sacrifice of a lamb meant, and you know, and I didn't know exactly what it meant when Moses went to the mountain and got the tablets and the Ten Commandments, and until I started reading more and more and more. And I think that I've read in the last few months about 90% of the Old Testament and about 80% of the New Testament, and I go over and over and over it again. And then I got in contact with you, good people, and you sent me home some more information and some lessons, and I started doing these lessons, and then I started wondering about what was said in the lessons about asking God for forgiveness and of your sins, and I read the Ten Commandments, and I said, well, I haven't been very kind to my fellow man by denying things. I haven't been very kind to God by denying him, because I always ask the question, why me, why not somebody else? And you know, and so I got down on my knees and I started praying, and I started to cry, and I prayed a bit more and I cried a bit more, and I asked Jesus for forgiveness, and I asked for help and guidance and strength and understanding in the books that I'm doing and the lessons I'm learning. And the funniest thing happened when I was finished that night. It was about half past 11 when I finally switched off the light and went to lay down, and I felt so different. I felt a warm glow all over me, and it wasn't the electric blanket, and it felt completely different. I'm not quite knowing exactly what it was, but then in the morning when I looked at all the papers laying all over my bed and the Bible and a few of the lessons and things like that, I picked it up again and prayed, and there it was. It was staring in front of me. The greatest gift that man can ever receive is the blessing of God, and to in the forgiveness of sins, and the realization that my major life tiny little illnesses that I've had is so minor compared to what Jesus did for us. He wasn't dead when they nailed his hands to the cross. He wasn't dead when they nailed the spikes through his feet onto the cross. He was hung up there at 9 o'clock in the morning and died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so he suffered all that time, and his blood dripped on the earth, and then I really realized, you know, he did all that for me and for a fellow man, and then I said, now I know why me. You know, that little bit of suffering that I had was absolutely nothing, and I actually thank God for the things that he's done for me, you know, and it's I am such a different person, and I not only have to thank God for this and Jesus, but I have to thank your people, because without you, there never would have been a chance for me to do this, and I was like a lost sheep, wandering around in paddocks and areas and getting stuck into bushes and not able to get out and not knowing which way to go. And now I'm a new person. I'm like I am reborn. I feel different. I look at life different. And I thank Jesus and God the Father for everything I have, for the clothes I wear, for the light, for the water I drink, and for everything, for every day that the sun shines and the wind or the rain, and it is such a fantastic feeling. So that's why I honestly thank you, good people, for helping me, and the lovely photo that I was sent from Gary and his wife, and it was really fantastic. So I will take a very short break, and I come back on the other side of this tape, because it's 27 minutes are gone, so more than likely it will run out. The birch you hear on the background is tape, a cassette that my son made for me of when I do my praying in my room. I got it very softly in the background, because it's like a song of heaven, because it's one of the greatest gifts that we have given this nature, and so I'm forever grateful. And when it is the funniest thing I've got now, I've got a crucifix hanging up, I've got statues around and photos and different pieces, and I can't walk past my room or I have to think of Jesus. I can't wake up or I have to think of Jesus. So I will be back on the other side, so give me a few minutes to have a drink of water so I can say a few more little things. So we'll see you on the other side. Hello again, I am back. I did have a glass of water, and so I thought I'd just let you know a few other little bits and pieces, and how great the feeling is of being restored to life, and to have Jesus now within me, and that's why I'm so grateful for the lessons, because with the lessons I learn much more, and hopefully that I can come closer and closer to Jesus, and one day I will be able to be with him in heaven. And like the good father said, the house has got many mansions and many rooms, and I'll hopefully to be there one day, and to praise him with all the saints and all the angels of heaven, to praise him, to thank him for the things that he has given us. And I've already talked to many people about my experience and my way of finding Jesus, and some people are very skeptical, and they brush it off, but I don't worry about things like that anymore. It is my greatest gift that I've received, and I will endeavour to do the lessons and as many times as I possibly can, and I have kept every bit of paper and all the thank you notes and my awards and bits and pieces, and so I will be forever grateful to the Queensland Mailbox Bible Club Incorporated. I will be very pleased. I'll be very pleased, and thank you, Gary and his wife, and all the other people who are helping to bring a light and a smile to people like us, because I virtually felt really lost, and I actually could compare myself with one of the stories in one of the lessons, that I was a lost sheep, and I was tangled up in vines, and I did not know which way to turn. And it is really true. Jesus does go out of his way to look for the lost sheep, and I have been restored, and there's still a little thing missing. I haven't gone to church as yet, because I'm still a little bit confused in which church or building I should go. But I believe that I should go with my fellow man and praise God and thank him for things to do. So I will definitely make a very big effort in going to the church, and hopefully it will be back in my own original religion where I was baptized in. So, but with the Bible studies and things like that, it is very important for me to keep going and be understanding what Jesus done for us and what God the Father has suffered and is still suffering, to see what we are doing here on earth. And because I believe that man is in the mode of self-destruction, and therefore I really hang on to Jesus, because I don't think it will be very long before we will be asked to go in front of our beloved Father and have our judgment day. But like I said, you people have brought a smile to my face, and I am overjoyed, and I also hope to meet one of you people one of these days to thank you personally. This tape you can let other people hear, I don't mind. It becomes the property of the Bible Club itself, so it doesn't have to be returned. Also the photo, you can keep the photo also of my wife and myself. The photo was taken up in Harvey Bay in a caravan park where I helped out and picked up leaves and garbage and things like that for have a site on their caravan park. But we were talking about a smile, and I've got a small story here about a smile, and I would like to tell you about it. I will turn the music. Yes, well, there we go. I was going to turn the birds down in the background, but it doesn't quite work out on this tape recorder I've got here, so I will put on my reading glasses, and because my wife has written it down for me, I dictated the story to her. So okay, here we go, and this is for everybody who has helped me. The value of a smile. A smile costs nothing, but given much. It reaches those who receive without making them poorer. Those who give it take but a moment, but the memories sometimes last a lifetime. None is too rich or mighty that he can get along without it. None so poor, but that he can be made richer by it. A smile creates happiness in the home. It fosters goodwill and is the countersign of friendship. It brings rest to the weary, a cheer to the discouraged. A smile is sunshine to the sad, and it is nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, bagged, borrowed or stolen, for it is of no value to anyone until it's given. Some people are too tired to give you a smile. Give them one of yours, as one needs a smile so much, as he who has no more to give. God smiles on them We Smile at Bandai Panamane by John Moon Rizvanam. Okay, I thought this was very, very appropriate little story, and it's very dear to my heart, and I do little silly things like that. But once again, I am very grateful for you people, and I am really looking forward to all the lessons, and hopefully one of these days we might even get closer acquainted and I'll meet some of your people, and maybe one day I'll be able to help somebody else also, and because it is such a wonderful feeling to have Jesus now with me and living in my heart, and I will remember all your people in my prayers, and I thank you not by myself but also for my wife, and hopefully that one day my wife Ingrid also will be able to accept Jesus, and I do pray for her as I do for my fellow man. So once again, this is a short story on this site. I will put a post down for it shortly, and I love the birds in the background. It's like the angels singing, and it's really beautiful. I have got pet budgies myself, and I go into my cage every time and just look at it, and that's why I believe that paradise where Adam and Eve were born, it would be something absolutely magnificent. And but however, we are children from Adam and Eve, and we are from a sinful background, so that's why we have to ask Jesus for our forgiveness, and he is very willing to give it, because when he was crucified on the cross and died, not just for me, but for our fellow man, and his blood dripped on the earth to wash away the sins of the earth. So you can see that I have really become a very religious person. I can't do without Jesus anymore, and life would not be the same. So once again, Prince of Jesus, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me to find Jesus, and the blessing will definitely be bestowed on your people, because you have brought somebody back, and I believe that one day I might be able to do the favour in return for some other poor lost person like I was. So I thank you all, and hopefully we will hear from each other again shortly. Goodbye. This was John Van Roosmalen, and it's now getting late, and I still have to do my prayers. It is already 8:30, so by the time I finish my prayers, it is well and truly bedtime. So God bless you all, and hopefully that the Lord will look after all of you, and the way he does look after me. We thank you.